This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head.
It's radio.
Free
radio.
Marie, how will Bill C-585, a private member's bill, have serious implications for the income security of refugee claimants and other people without permanent status in Canada if it's passed?
Well, essentially, the bill will allow provinces to impose minimum residency requirements for eligibility for social assistance benefits for these groups of people. The way the bill is worded, it would affect refugee claimants who are waiting for their claims to be decided by the Immigration and Refugee Board. What this means is that all people who come to Canada to make refugee claims will be affected by this bill. And what a minimum residency requirement means is that a province can decide that refugee claimants are not eligible for social assistance until they've lived in that province for a specified period of time. And the bill does this in a bit of a convoluted way. It does this by changing the national standard for the Canada Social Transfer, which is contained in the Federal Provincial Fiscal Arrangements Act. The Canada Social Transfer is the way that federal government gives funds to the provinces to help them pay for core social services, which include social assistance. You know, other funding, the funding also funds post-secondary education and child care. So in that act, part of the condition of the social transfer is there's a national standard. So the national standard is a condition for the Canada Social Transfer for provinces to get that social transfer. And provinces, under that national standard, provinces cannot impose a minimum period of residency to restrict eligibility for social assistance benefits. And under the Act currently, if a province does impose a residency requirement, it risks losing some or all of its social transfer payments. So Bill C-585 would amend this national standard so that provinces are free to impose a residency requirement for people without permanent status, without risking losing any of its social transfer funding. So what this means that is that if a residency requirement is imposed by a province, recently arrived refugee claimants will be cut off from social assistance and will be left to fend for themselves, to feed, clothe, and house themselves and their children. And, you know, it will have a terrible impact not only on them, but on, you know, our already under-resourced community services, on shelters, on charities, which refugees would have to turn to for support.
Why would someone introduce this type of legislation?
Well, I can't speak to the particular motivation of the sponsor MP, who is Cornelio Chizu. He's a Conservative backbencher for Pickering Scarborough East. You would have to ask him. But just looking at the impact of the bill and the way the bill is worded, it is clearly aimed at restricting access to social assistance for refugee claimants.
Bill C-585 can't be seen alone. Does it reflect a growing trend of disentitlement of refugees and refugee claimants in Canada?
Well, you're right that it cannot be seen alone, and it has to be viewed in context. And the context, you have to look back to 2012, where the federal government introduced cuts to health care for refugees and refugee claimants. Which, by the way, has been successfully challenged in federal court, and where the court found that the cuts violated the Canadian Charter, that constituted cruel and unusual treatment under our Charter. We have also seen recent legislation, specifically Bill C-31, which changed the Old Age Security Act to restrict access for older, low-income immigrants for certain kinds of old age security benefits. And we've also seen through our work efforts by federal agencies such as the Canada Border Services to facilitate the cutting off of social assistance for refugees who were unsuccessful, who are failed refugees, and were facing removal from Canada, who under current Ontario law wouldn't necessarily be ineligible, but we've seen federal agencies contact the local social benefits agencies to provide information. And we see that as a move to facilitate their removal and to cut them off from their benefits. So Bill C-585 has to be seen in that context for sure.
So would this proposed bill stand up to a charter challenge if it ever got passed?
Well, it's too early to tell. It requires the provinces to take action. What the federal government has done is basically allow provinces to impose a minimum residency requirement, and it's too early to tell whether or not that would withstand charter scrutiny. But I have to say that the way that the bill has been introduced through the private members process, it doesn't go through the same kind of charter scrutiny that a government bill, for example, would. It wouldn't be required to be sent to the Department of Justice to be reviewed for charter compliance. Private members' bills do not attract that kind of scrutiny. So it may well be contrary to the charter, but you know, if the provinces do impose a minimum residency requirement, I would foresee people challenging that definitely under the charter. And you know, there's experience in the UK I think that we can draw on, where the government there cut welfare for refugee claimants, and the House of Lords there found that to be struck that down, and that case was actually used in the federal health care cut challenge to find the judge used that case to find the cuts to health care in Canada to be unconstitutional. So we may well see charter challenges there.
And, of course, even if there is a charter challenge, that could take up to 2 years to be heard and, in the meantime, cause a lot of pain and suffering for those affected.
In the meantime, if the bill is passed and provinces choose to impose a minimum residence requirement, people will suffer. Refugees, when they come, will not be eligible for social assistance, and they will definitely suffer.
Describe the legislative process for the bill. It was introduced in April. Where does it go from here?
Well, we understand that the bill will be up for debate at second reading on September 16th. It's the first hour of debate will be on September 16th, and there will be a second hour probably a month or so after. If the bill passes second reading, it will go to the committee stage, where at which point there would be an opportunity for groups to make oral or written submissions. And if the bill is approved by the House of Commons and the Senate, then you know it would be up to the provinces to decide whether or not to act on after that.
Talk about the critical role that social assistance benefits play in the lives of refugee claimants and others without permanent status in Canada.
Well, it's quite kind of an obvious, you know, question, but you know, through our work and the people that we are working on this campaign with, who are lawyers and agencies serving refugee claimants, we've seen how, you know, critical social assistance is to refugee claimants. You know, we must remember that refugee claimants are a very vulnerable group of people. Imagine fleeing from persecution, leaving your country, coming to a new and unfamiliar country. You don't know anyone. You're traumatized, perhaps suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. You may not be able to speak English or French. You know, you may be a woman trying to take care of your children. You know, imagine coming to this country and not having any means of support. Social assistance, you know, in that situation would be a critical means of support for their survival. Provides them income for food, for shelter, for clothes. And on top of that, you know, you have to see your claim through, your refugee claim through. You have to navigate, you know, an unfamiliar and daunting refugee claim system.
And that could take a considerable amount of time. It's not just something over a period of a couple of weeks.
No. The federal government has committed to prompt processing of refugee claims, but that in reality could take months before a refugee gets their decision. And even if a refugee claim is denied, it doesn't mean that that person doesn't face risks on return to their home country. There are other processes to catch a risk of harm that may not necessarily fall under the refugee definition, but that person is, you know, facing very real problems at home. And there are checks and balances in the Canadian immigration system that would offer protection to someone like that. But, you know, under this bill, that wouldn't matter. That person would be out of luck.
And without those benefits, as you alluded to earlier, any form of assistance would fall to charitable organizations who are already overwhelmed.
That's true. You know, in Toronto, for example, we know that shelters are way over capacity. I think it's 110% on a recent report. Imagine having people, you know, they're projecting 16,000 refugee claimants in 2015. We know a lot of them make their way to Toronto. That's a fair number of people. And imagine all those people having to access the already burdened shelters and you know, already under-resourced charities for basic needs. I mean, is this the kind of Canada we want? You know, we say that we're a humanitarian country. We have a history of open arms, humane treatment of refugees, welcoming people. We're an immigrant country, but are we really, if this law passes?
Do you think one of the aims of this bill is to discourage immigration to Canada unless you've got money?
Well, it'll certainly, be a deterrent. It definitely will be a barrier for people. But I don't think it's going to stop people from coming. If you a refugee claim, if you're trying to flee your country and you're a refugee, what it means is that when you come here, you would have a much harder time surviving, and there will always be people fleeing persecution. It's a question of how we comply with our international obligations.
What actions are you asking people to take to stop the passage of this bill?
Well, we're working with a group, with groups from across Canada and as well across Ontario. We're working with the Canadian Council for Refugees, for example, and the Canadian Association for Refugee Lawyers, and groups in Ontario like the Ontario Council for Agencies Serving Immigrants, and other community legal clinics that represent refugee claimants. We're working on a campaign together to get this information out there, and we've prepared a kit for that purpose. We want people to write to MPs, you know, whether it be their own MP, whether it be MPs of a particular party, to express the concern that this is not the Canada we want to be, and to try and get this bill withdrawn and to get them to vote against this bill. Like I mentioned earlier, we've prepared an information action kit with information on the bill, explaining the bill. We've also prepared a template letter as a guide that people can use to send to their MP, and we've also provided email addresses of all the MPs. So we're asking people to take action.
Marie, where can people go then for information about this bill, to take a look at the kit that you've prepared, as well as any other information?
Well, we posted our kit on our website at the Income Security Advocacy Center website. It's at www.incomesecurity.org, Noble Group.
Marie Chen, thanks so much for taking the time to interview with Ravel.ca.
Thank you.
For Ravel.ca, this is John Bonner. Thank you for listening to John Bonner's audio blog, hosted by Ravel.ca and the Ravel Podcast Network.